Welcome to Tairat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pamela Rivka Simonson, and today we will be studying Yehoshua, Perek Tes Vav, Chapter 15. This chapter outlines the areas of the land of Yisrael, inherited by the tribe of Yehuda, according to the Goyrol, the system of lots that we mentioned in the previous Perek. Vayihi ha-goyrol lamate b'nei Yehuda lemishbechoysom, and the lot for the tribe of the children of Yehuda, according to their families. El gvul Edoim midbar tzin negba miktzei Seimon, was to the border of Edoim, to the wilderness of Tzin, southward at the uttermost part of the south. The verses continue from here until Posuk 12, with a detailed description of the area given to the tribe of Yehuda and its borders. The general picture is that they occupied the southern part of the land, from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean, and from Yerushalayim south to the middle of the Negev Desert. One reason that is given for Shevet Yehuda being the first to be allocated their portion in the land is that Kalev, their leader, had requested Chevron, as we saw in the previous chapter. And so Yehoshua wanted to ascertain whether the lot that would come out for Shevet Yehuda, his tribe, would include the area of Chevron. Indeed, through Goyrol, the lots informed by the Urim V'Tumim, as we mentioned previously, by perfect arrangement by the Master of the World, Divine Providence, the area that falls out as allocated to the tribe of Yehuda surrounds Chevron. In verse 13, Kalev's gift of Chevron is mentioned again, and then we are told about his acquisition of Chevron through conquest. Rashi contends that this took place after Yehoshua's death, and it's just being mentioned here in the context of the land being divided. Verse 14, Vayoresh Misham Kalev es Shloisha b'nei ha'anok, es Sheshai, ve es Achimon, ve es Talmai, Yelidei ha'anok. And Kalev drove out of there the three sons of the giant, Sheshai, and Achimon, and Talmai, the children of the giant. The Chaimus Anoch comments that this triumph came about in Kalev's merit and in the merit of Yehoshua that he blessed him and in the merit of the Avos, the patriarchs, because Kalev prayed at their graves at the time of the earlier spy mission, the delegation sent by Moshe, as we learnt about in chapter 14 of Yehoshua. I'd like to suggest that it's relevant to think at this point about how amazing it is that we can have a particular intention when we do something positive, and we may daven, pray for something specific, but the power of the act itself or the prayer itself can reach further than we would anticipate and benefit us or others in ways we didn't intend. It's empowering to know the potential of a good deed or a tefillah. I think it's also encouraging. Sometimes we daven for something and Hashem says no, which will always be for our ultimate good. But the tefillah was never wasted. We don't know the impact of the tefillah, but we can feel assured that it certainly has an effect, somehow, somewhere. Having defeated the giants in Chevron, Kalev then moves on to the taking over of the neighbouring city, Devir. Verse 15, Vaya'al misham el yoshivei Devir, v'shem Devir lefonim kiryas sefer. And he went up from there to the inhabitants of Devir. And the name of Devir before was Kiryas Sefer. It used to be called Kiryas Sefer. Radak quotes the sages that Devir is the Persian word for Sefer, book. during the period of mourning after the death of Moshe, many halachas, Torah laws, were forgotten. Rashi interprets that Kiryas Sefer, the city of the book, is a reference to these forgotten laws, which contextualizes the content of the next posuk, Vayomer Kalev Asher Yakeh Es Kiryas Sefer Ulechodo, and Kalev said, he who smites Kiryas Sefer and takes it, the Nosati Loi Es Achso Viti Leisho, I will give Achso, my daughter, to him as a wife. He is promising his daughter, Achso, in marriage to whichever man conquers Kiryas Sefer. He's just defeated Chevron. Why the change of strategy when it comes to Devir, formerly known as Kiryas Sefer? Based on the Rashi, he is seeking someone who will re-establish these lost Torah principles, coded in the name Kiryas Sefer. He's looking for someone who will uncover, who will bring back, who will work out those lost Torah teachings. And this person will be suitable for marrying his daughter. Verse 17, Vayilkada Osniel ben Kanaz Achi Cholev, Vayiten Loi Es Achso Vitoi Leisho. And Osniel, the son of Kanaz, the brother of Cholev, took it, meaning Kiryas Sefer, and he gave him Achso, his daughter, as a wife. Osniel, who was Kalev's half-brother, with his Torah scholarship, his wisdom, was the person who re-established and restored the forgotten Torah laws. The Mishpatzos Zohov quotes two places in the Gemara to bring an insight on the meaning of the name Achso. Her name is connected with the word koyes, when someone is angry, because she was beautiful and tznius, modest. When other men would see her beauty and tznius, they would become angry about their own wives. When we look outwards and use what we see outside as a yardstick for the worth of what we have in our own lives, we enter into dangerous territory. Of course, it is positive to be inspired by the greatness of others. But everything in our own lives is tailor-made, and we need to look inwards to our own personal environment and see the beauty in what is in front of us and nurture and intensify it. Our eyes need to look in the right places. Our minds need to focus in the right direction. Our hearts need to concentrate on our own tafkid, purpose, and on the people we have in our personal lives to make effort in developing healthy, beautiful, meaningful, holy relationships. Verse 18, Vayihi Bavoyo, Batasisehu Lish'ol Me'es Avia Sadeh. And it came to pass, as she, Achso, came to him, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. Vatitznach me'al hachamar, vayomer lo kalev ma loch. And she leaned off the donkey, and Kalev said to her, what is wanting to you? What do you need? Verse 19, Vatomer tana li v'rocho, ki eretz hanegev nesotoni. And she said, give me brocha, sustenance, for you have given me an arid land, a dry land. V'nosata li gulois mayim, give me also springs of water. V'yiten lo es gulois ilios, v'es gulois tachtios. And he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. The Mishpatzos Zohov explains that Achsa's intention in asking her father for sustenance is in order to ensure that there is no burden of a livelihood on her husband, so that nothing impedes her husband's Torah learning. She wants to ensure that nothing prevents him from being immersed in Torah and so she asks her father to provide them with a good field. In Torah, a donkey, chamor, represents chomer, the material, physicality. Achzo leans off the donkey because symbolically she wants to show her father that they don't have status in physicality. She needs to ensure that their household can be provided for. The Mincha Katana notes that in her request to have sustenance when married to a Talmid Chacham, her father Kolev grants her more than she asked for, in order that her husband be in a position to study Torah without any impediment. The verses now contain a long list of cities that belong to Shevet Yehuda, and the chapter ends, verse 63, Ve'es hayavusi yoshvei Yerushalayim loy yachlu v'nei Yehuda l'harishom, v'yeshev hayavusi es b'nei Yehuda b'Yerushalayim ad hayom hazeh. As for the Yavusi, the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, the children of Yehuda could not drive them out. But the Yavusi dwelt with the children of Yehuda in Yerushalayim to this day. Radak says that they could have driven them out, but they did not have permission to, because of the promise of Rohom made to Avimelech in Bereishis chapter 21. The Yavusi here does not refer to those of the seven nations, but rather to one person whose name was Yavus, and he descended from Avimelech. The place is called according to his name. Yehuda is the first Shevet to be allocated its portion in Eretz Yisrael. In the next chapter, Yosef is given their heritage in the land. The Gra comments on the opening to the next chapter that these two tribes were given their part of the land first before the other tribes, because Yehuda and Ephraim comes under the tribe of Yosef, Yehuda and Ephraim are the leaders of the tribes, and the first kings came from them, and the future redeemers and leaders, Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef, will come from them. The tribe of Yehuda is Malchus, kingship, because of the person Yehuda, the son of Yaakov, the progenitor of the tribe. The Gemara in Sota 7b with Rashi teaches that because Yehuda admitted without embarrassment regarding the matter with Tamar, he was rewarded with, he merited kingship. Kings descended from him. In Bereishis chapter 38, we learn the story of Yehuda and Tamar. This is an episode that needs very careful, informed study with commentary to appreciate its true meaning, and to understand that there is a beautiful spiritual tapestry being sewn behind its events. Although I'll mention some of the details of the storyline on the surface here, please know that it's extremely important not to take these events at face value. Tamar, widowed twice over, prevented from marrying the next son in line, wants to continue the line of her husband and perform levirate union with Yehuda. So Tamar, disguised as a harlot, Yehuda has relations with Tamar. This was, by the way, a divinely guided action. And they make a deal about items he will give to her. Tamar falls pregnant as a result of the union. When she is brought for the sentence he imposed upon her, burning, for the sin of committing harlotry, she gives a coded message. Le'ish asher eile loy anaychi hara. I am pregnant by the man to whom these items belong. Yehuda understands and publicly confesses that she is pregnant by union with Yehuda. Yehuda admitted the truth in spite of the embarrassment this would cause him. Says the Alshech, Neifach, which is a greenish stone, is the stone in the breastplate of the high priest that is allocated to the tribe of Yehuda. This represents the trait of admitting the truth even when one turns green with shame. Yehuda takes the embarrassment because it means clinging to truth. It's our Maker in heaven that we have to impress, and no one else. Thank you for studying together. Lelui Nishmas Frida Bas Moshe Eliyahu.